Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. If you have YouVersion, all of the notes are up on YouVersion today. How many of you have a paper Bible with you today? Okay. How many of you are going to start dusting off your paper Bible? Amen. All right, Matthew 10, 28 says this. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body, but they cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Okay, so I want to start with this scripture before I get into the next one, which is going to be the basis for the points that I have today. I think this is just to kick off the whole series to show you something. This scripture talks about fear twice. It says, don't be afraid or fear those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So these words, afraid and fear, are the exact same word in the Greek. Okay, the word is phobeo, where we get the word phobia from. Phobeo. Same exact word, but there are a couple different definitions, and the way this word is actually said determines its definition. Does that make sense? So culturally, when they were speaking this word, if they said it, you know, with a certain accent one way, it meant one definition. If they said it with an accent the other way, it meant the other definition. Don't ask me to say the accents, because I can't, but I can tell you that's what this means. So there's two different definitions to this. The first one, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body, they cannot touch your soul, is actually the definition, don't be seized with alarm about what they could do. Okay? Don't be seized with alarm about what they could do. The second usage of the word, but fear God, only God, actually, it says, but fear only God. That usage is this: be astonished, be struck with awe at what God can and will do. You see the difference? Don't be afraid of what they could do, but be astonished, be struck with awe at what God will and can and will do. Two different ways of saying this word, two different definitions, okay? So when God says, don't fear man, fear only God, he's saying, don't be afraid of what they talk about or how the enemy threatens or what man says they could do to you, right? Don't be afraid. Let's just take this and say, not just man. Don't be afraid of what the enemy says he could do to you. We've all heard the enemy speak to us and say things like, I'm going to take you down, I'm going to hurt you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do all these things. Anybody hear their enemy say that, speak that to them? Amen. You've all heard that. You've heard the enemy threaten you. And it may have come through a trial or tribulation or situation you're going through, but the enemy threatens. And what God is saying, don't fear that. Don't fear what the enemy says he could do to you or what he might do to you. Don't fear that. Fear only God. Okay? Which means be struck with awe, be astonished of what not only he can do, but he will do, all right? So when the enemy has come to you and said, Jason, I'm going to take you down, I'm going to destroy you, this is the end of you, you're not going to make it through this trial, you're not going to make it through this rough patch in your life, it's over, all right? He's trying to put fear in you. Because if he can put fear in you, if he can get you to fear him, then he's already won most of the battle. Okay? But if you stand up and say, God has not given me a spirit of fear, you just did exactly what the word of the Lord told you to do. You didn't fear what man could do, what the enemy could do. You fear what God can and will do, right? You stand in awe of him. You're struck with astonishment at what God will do. God has made you a promise. Look at somebody next to you. Say, God made you a promise. If you're a follower of Jesus, God promised you that he would take care of you. Amen? God promised that he would walk with you, that he would go before you, that he would surround you, that your enemies would see him and shudder in fear. God has made you a promise that he will see you through no matter what comes your way. He will take you through it. The enemy knows this. And the only thing the enemy can do is to get you to fear what his little lies about what he could do. That's the only thing he can do. Is if he can get you, if the enemy can get you to fear his lies, when you fear his lies, you make them the truth. Don't do that. The truth is, God made you a promise that he would see you through. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He made you a promise. And is he truly the creator of all things? Is he truly the one true living God? Is he truly Lord of your life? Do you know that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning through the end? Is he all of those things? If he is, then you won't fear what man could do. You stand in astonishment of what God will do. Amen? So that's how we need to look at this when we're talking about fear. The only one we should fear is God himself. And that fear is this awe, this astonishment. Okay, so let's go to the scripture that I'm going to use, and then I'm going to blow through about four quick points. Believe it or not, I really am. I'm going to move fast, all right? I'm going to read this story really fast in Judges chapter 7. It's one of my favorite of all time. I love to talk about Gideon and about this encounter that he had with the Lord as he was getting ready to go into battle. And the reason I'm going to use this is because God deals with fear a couple of times in this story, in this passage of scripture. So Judges chapter 7, verse 1, you probably know this story well, but if you don't, pay attention. I'm going to read quickly through it. Okay, so Zerubbabel, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the valley near the hill of Morah. Then the Lord God said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength." Can I just stop right there just for those of you who don't know? So Gideon had 32,000 men with him, and the Midianites numbered at least 120,000, okay? So Gideon was already outnumbered in number 4-1, all right? So just so for reference, so you understand, and the Lord, so when the Lord says, "You have too many warriors with you," imagine if the Lord said that to you. You're about to go through this. You're about to fight this battle. But hold on. You got too much power. You got too many with you. All right? So he says, verse 3, "Therefore tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid," in other words, in fear, "they may leave this mountain and go home." So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go and who will not." When God took Gideon, when Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all of those who cup the water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths to stream. Now, this is not a message about that. I'm not even going to go into that, but I will tell you this. Many say, well, the reason that God separated them that way is because the ones that got down to the stream and drank with their mouth to the stream was they were not aware of their surroundings, and that's why God, only the ones that cupped it to their hands and drank like this, that's why God separated them, because they were aware. Can I tell you that has nothing to do with it? That is not why God separated them. It had nothing to do with their awareness or their skills or, you know, anything to do with what they did as far as what they could do. If this had anything to do with their skills or how skilled they were or how observant they were, anything to do with that, then God's saying that I need men like that that are skilled. I need your strength. I need your strength. Can you imagine God saying, I need your strength? It's not what he was saying. He wasn't saying, I need men who are observant. That's not what God cares about. What he cares about are men who are consecrated. Whose heart, men and women whose hearts are consecrated to him, are sold out to him. When they cupped their hands and brought it to their mouth, this was actually a sign from the temple of consecration. The priest, when they'd light the altar of incense, they would cup their hands, and when they would wave them like this to the Lord as a sign of consecration, that they have consecrated their lives to serve the Lord. So when the men cupped their hands, there was a sign of consecration to the Lord. And he goes, with those 300 men, I can do something. Not because they're physically strong and observant, but because their hearts are sold out to me. Okay? So, whole nother message, but that's, you need to know that when you're studying that. So the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home. So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns and the other warriors and sent them home, but he kept the 300 men with him. The Midianite camp was in the valley of Gideon, the valley just below Gideon. That night the Lord said, get up and go down to the Midianite camp, for I have given you victory over them. But if you are afraid, okay, same word, just in the Hebrew, same word, if you're afraid of what they might do, then go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Can I just stop there and say this? Can you imagine the Lord saying that to you? All right, you had 32,000 men. You were outnumbered 4-1. I've taken you down to 300 men. But if you're afraid, no, God, no. Shoot, not afraid. I'm good. You know, that's the funniest question to me. But if you're afraid, so, but watch this. This is powerful. Go down to the camp with your servant Purah. Listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged. Then you will be eager to attack. So, man, think about that. You're going to go down there. If you're afraid, go down there. And once you get done hearing what you're about to hear, you're going to be eager to attack. So this is going to be powerful, right? So Gideon took Purah, and he went down to the edge of the enemy camp. The armies of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east that had settled there in the valley was like a swarm of locusts, and their camels were like the grains of sand on the seashore, too many to count. So Gideon crept up just as a man was telling his companion about a dream. The man said, I had this dream, and in my dream, a loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp, and it hit a tent and turned it over and it knocked it flat. His companion answered, your dream can mean only one thing. Watch this. This is powerful. God has given Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite, victory over Midian and all its allies. When Gideon heard this dream and its interpretation, he bowed and worshiped before the Lord, and then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, get up! For the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes. He divided the 300 men into three groups, and he gave each of them a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. And then he said to them, keep your eyes on me, and when I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. And as soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. And it was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp, and suddenly they blew the ram's horns and broke the clay jars. Then all three groups of their blew their horns and broke their jars. And they held their blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands, and they all shouted a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. And each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in panic, shouting as they ran to escape. And when the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight against each other with their swords. And those who were not killed fled to the places as far away as Beth Shittah and Zereth. Zerah. And the border, and to the border of Abelon, Molala, and Tabith. Boy, those are hard ones, aren't they? Then Gideon sent for the warriors of Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh, who joined in chasing the army of Midian. Gideon also sent messengers throughout the hill country in Ephraim, saying, come down and attack the Midianites. Cut them off at the shallow crossings of the Jordan River and at Beth Barah. So all of the men of Ephraim did as they were told. They captured Oreb and Zeb, the two Midianite commanders, killing Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeb at the winepress of Zeb, and they continued chasing the Midianites. Afterwards, the Israelites brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon, who was by the Jordan River. Okay, so that's the whole story. That's what happened. All right? Just so powerful because how God deals with fear in this whole thing, right? And the reason he did it the way he did it is to annihilate fear in the Israelites, in Gideon. He wanted to show him that you have nothing to fear, for you are my chosen one. I chose you to do this. You have nothing to fear. So God gave Gideon and the Israelites victory, but it was really about the lesson and the lessons that he was teaching in this whole encounter, okay? And one of the biggest ones is fear. This is one of the biggest lessons. So let me give you a couple points today. I got 4 points. I'm going to go through them real quickly. First point is this: have faith in your Heavenly Father alone. Have faith in your Heavenly Father alone. Okay? In other words, back to the scripture that I read in the beginning, do not fear what man can do to you, but only fear God. Have faith in him. Have faith in him alone. Your Heavenly Father is with you, and that's enough. Amen? Oh, my. More of you should have said amen right there. I said the Lord is with you, and that's enough. Amen. He is all you need. He is all you need. You don't need God plus something else. All you need is God. He's more than enough. I've said this many times before. If you're married, my wife is not here today. She's not feeling well. She's sick, so pray for her. But you know, I've said this many times about Kim. I love her, and I want her, but I don't need her. It's okay. It's all right. She knows it. She says it about me too. And you know what I mean by that. I need the Lord. He's all I need. She is the cherry on top. Amen? She is a gift and a blessing from God. And she has been wonderful and my best friend. And I don't know where I would be without her. Are you getting there with me? But the Lord gave her to me. It's a gift from him. He's all I need. And if you have the Lord, he's all you need. He's enough. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many warriors. If I let you fight the Midianites right now, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. The Lord was first dealing with this, okay? When he's dealing with fear, he's dealing with this. You don't need anyone else. You need Jesus. You need the Lord. That's what you need. He is all you need. Too many times when we get through a trial or a battle, go through something, a difficulty, too many times we pat ourselves on the back a little bit. You know? Too many times we do that. And the Lord is saying, look, I need you to put all your hope, all your faith, all your trust in me. Have faith in the Lord alone. There are two big mistakes we make when we're facing a battle. Ready? Two big mistakes. One, we think it's impossible. Two, we think we can do it on our own. Those are the two greatest mistakes you can make when facing a battle. Both of them are fatal flaws. If you think it's impossible, it will be. Amen? Somebody once said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Right? What do you have faith in? Who do you have faith in? Okay? Our faith must be in God, God alone. He's all we need. All right? Point number 2, do not fear anyone but God. Therefore, tell the people, verse 3, he said, therefore, tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home. So 22,000 of them left that day. Do not fear anyone but God. Psalm 27:14 says, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for him. Isaiah 41:10 says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. So scripture after scripture after scripture, and I could give you several more, tell us not to be afraid, to trust in the Lord. God will uphold you with his mighty right hand. He is with you. He is walking with you. He's already gone before you and prepared the way. And if we'll see him like that, if we'll be in awe and struck with astonishment of how big he is and how powerful he is and how amazing he is, then we won't fear what we're where we're at right now and what we're going through at this moment. We will not fear what man can do to us. Point number 3, watch and listen. God is working. Now, this is a powerful point. I want you to get this today. From this story of Gideon, this is so powerful. Verse 10 says, but if you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant and listen to what the Midianites are saying, and you will be greatly encouraged, and then you will be eager to attack. When you're in a battle, one of the most important things you can do is see how God is moving and hear how he is speaking. I can't emphasize enough how important this is, that you see that you hear the Lord. You hear what he's saying, and you see how he's moving. Many times the Lord, in the midst of a battle, many times you will hear the Lord speaking, okay, and moving and doing things. And sometimes, just like Gideon, you'll hear it from your enemies. You'll hear it, the Lord speaking, all right? And you'll see it in the midst of the battle if you have your eyes open and your ears open to what he's doing. You have to pay attention. Not pay attention to how do I navigate through this and how can I have, you know, wisdom to navigate through this. The Lord will give you the wisdom, but what you need to have is your ears and your eyes focused and fixed on the voice of the Lord and what he's saying and what he is doing in the midst of that battle. He's doing things. He's going ahead. Think about this. The Lord went to the Midianite army and he gave a dream. The Lord gave this dream. Now, I don't have time to go into the dream and what it means, but it's a powerful dream. There's a meaning to that dream. There's a meaning to that barley loaf. That barley loaf wasn't just a loaf of bread. Who's afraid of a loaf of bread anyway? You know what I'm saying? A loaf of bread rolls down into the camp and crushes the tent. Good, I'll get up and eat it. Think about this. Why did that dream strike fear into those men? These aren't just teenage boys who are down there in the tent playing video games. These are mighty warriors of the Midianite horde. And he has a dream about a loaf of bread rolling down into the camp and crushing the tent, and he's struck with fear, and he knows that it means the Lord has given Gideon victory. Are you hearing me today? There's something powerful when the Lord goes ahead of you and speaks his word to the enemy. What he did is he went ahead and let the enemy know, you're done. You're finished. On this side with Gideon, he's taking them down from 32,000 to 300. And on this side over here in Midianite, he's giving them a dream about a loaf of bread. And they're struck with fear. And they're like, we're done. Gideon's going to kill us all. Do you see how the Lord's working? And what you can be assured of is that the Lord is doing the same thing on your behalf. He's going before you no matter what you're going through, and he is speaking ahead of you, going before you, telling the enemy, you better watch out because this is what's about to happen to you. Because my children are coming through. They're not going to have to go around the trouble. They're not going to have to go under it or over it. They're going to go through it with the power and the authority and the appointment of Almighty God. You don't have to fear the enemy. Because you have a great, big, wonderful, almighty God that is for you. And he goes ahead of you. And he clears the way for you. Just like he did the Red Sea, so they could go through on dry ground, and the enemy tries to pursue you, and he'll crash down on top of them. So you don't have to fear. So how can you pay attention to this, and how can you know? Well, one of the ways is to understand what God is doing in the enemy camp. Like I said, is there fear in the camp? Is there confusion in the camp? Is the enemy turning on each other? Do you see that happening? And if you see that happening, which you will if you pay attention, then you know the Lord has gone before you. Okay? When Gideon heard this dream, he knew. He knew immediately. More importantly, not just what the Midianites thought. They thought, man, we're done because this loaf of bread. But Gideon heard this dream, and he knew exactly what the Lord was saying. He knew exactly what was about to happen. He felt it in his spirit. And this is how we know. This is how we know that he felt it in his spirit. And if you listen to anything I have to say today, listen to this. The most important thing you can do when you're in a battle, the most important thing you can do is listen to the Spirit of God within you and what he's doing and what he's saying to you. And when you feel him rise up within you, you rise up too. Don't shrink back in fear. Don't be afraid of what the enemy could do. Understand what God will do. Watch. Gideon knew it in his spirit, and this is how we know. He bowed down and worshiped the Lord at that very moment. He bowed down and worshiped the Lord. He knew that God had already given him the victory. And from that moment on, he walked with this faith. This faith, 300 men. He went back and he immediately knew what to do. He shouted, "Get up. We're about to go win this fight. And this is what you're going to do." Think about what happened. You know what happened. They didn't have to lift a finger. They didn't have to draw a sword. Did they? What did happen is powerful. Okay? Point number four. Shout and shine and watch fear run away. Shout and shine. Okay, they're not mad at what I just said, okay, all these people getting up, just so you're aware. They're like, man, that did it. I was with you till you said shout and shine. I'm out of here. I knew there's something wrong with this church. That's funny. We actually have a presentation for you here in a minute that they've been working on for a while, and so they're going to show you in a second. I think it's going to drive this sermon and this point home today, but think about that. Shout and shine and watch fear run away. It's not complicated. We overcomplicate this thing, right? It's the simple gospel. The Lord said himself, I use the foolish things to confound the wise. Amen? It's actually simple. Look, it's okay. We know it. We're sheep. Sheep are stupid. It's all right. Right? It's okay. You can look at somebody and say, you're a sheep. You guys know, really. I mean, of all animals to be compared to, why sheep? Sheep are like the stupidest animal. Stupidest. Most stupid. Stupider. I don't know. Is that it? The most stupidest. But it's very simple, actually. It's trusting in the Lord, having faith. You've heard faith over fear, right? Having faith. So he divided the men into the men of 300 in three groups and gave them a ram's horn and a clay jar and a torch in it. That's powerful. If you've ever read this story and you just glazed over that, don't. Understand what the Lord's doing. There's nothing in this word that he just put in there when like, we need some more space filled up. Throw that in there. Every word that's written in his word, in the Bible, is important. Every word. Okay? So what did it mean? Why did he divide them into the three groups? Why did he give them a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it? Well, it says this. It says, suddenly they blew the ram's horns and broke the clay jars. Then all three groups did it together. Okay? And they shouted. Don't forget that. They shouted. And I gave you this scripture earlier today. Like I said, I was going to save this for this part in the message, but it says in Psalm 47:1, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. In the story of Jericho, he said, shout before they went out. That last day, shout for God has given you the city. And they marched around in silence 7 times. And at the end of the 7th time, they shouted with a voice of triumph. From deep within, the Spirit of God rising up in them, they shouted. And it wasn't the pitch of their voice, and it wasn't the volume of their voice that brought those walls down. It was the hands of Almighty God that brought them down. But they knew he would do it. They trusted that he would do it. They had faith, and it overcame the fear that they had had before that. God is speaking that to us today. He's telling us to clap your hands and shout, for he has given you victory. There's nothing to fear but God and only God. And that fear is this astonishment at how great he is and how loving and kind he is and how he goes before you and prepares a way for you. That's all you need to fear. Be astonished, be in awe at your Heavenly Father. But aside from that, there is no fear. No fear. No fear of what man can do. No fear of what tomorrow can bring. No fear of what you might experience next week. No fear about your children. No fear about your future. You know why? Because God is your future. He is your future.